listening to Average Joe's Chess, a chess podcast made by average chess players, but exceptional lovers. We're gonna make love to you, Average Joe's Chess. We're gonna make love to you, Average Joe's Chess.
Hi everyone. Last week, Al said that he didn't need me as a presenter anymore as he could use AI to clone my voice. He then said that he was joking and that he would never do that. Instead, the bastard has replaced me with my own brother, Luca, this week. Al, I could have done today's podcast. My dinky donga has totally recovered from the frozen spinach incident now. Okay, it's a bit sore after I spent a week overusing it after the infection made it more user-friendly, but I'm ready, man. Luca, do you know what you've let yourself in for? Do me a favour, bro. Make Al suffer, please. Also, don't eat the spinach in Mum's freezer either. Me and Charlotte have plans for it. Anyway, hope everyone enjoys the show. Could I ask you all a favour? Would it be possible for you to rate the show? Seeing positive ratings appear makes parts of me swell even more than the spinach does. Also, for every 5-star rating we get, I'll post a sexy picture of me posing in my whole infested pants on the Insta.
Luca, what did you think of that clip from Joe?
I thought it was exceptional. Yeah, it's quite a welcome for me. So I'm going to try and make it as difficult for you as I can.
Thank you, Luca. You've got big pants to fill, man. I mean, when I say big pants, they're actually... Well, you've seen them. Tell us more about Joe's underwear. Let's kick off with talk of Joe's underwear.
They are incredible. You've never seen anything like it. So I'm going to start by... I mean, let's all picture your standard pair of boxers. Mm-hmm. You've got two holes for your legs and obviously where the waist goes. But in the life of Joe, I mean, it wasn't too long ago, actually, maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was over at Mum and Dad's house and Joe came back from work, got home and got ready for the gym. I think he was going back out for the sauna. And I can only assume that the boxers he were wearing were some form of kind of aircon filtration system that he was preparing. Because
you sent me the video.
I think I did, didn't I? I'd say there's about 7 or 8 holes in there. Like, when you're talking about it on this podcast, you are not exaggerating.
Not am I? They're unbelievable. Not even I don't know how anybody wear pants that look like that. I mean,
and they just wouldn't be comfortable.
But fair play to him. Maybe they are comfortable for Joe. Maybe he's got multiple genitals down there and they're sort of, he needs all those extra holes. I don't know.
I've got to say, I do think it runs in the family ever so slightly. I don't know what
it is.
Here
we go.
But I remember I went to the gym once. I was maybe 22, 23. And everybody was just staring at me. I was doing the dumbbell presses. And at the time, I was in pretty good shape. So I was like, yeah, you know, I think I was doing like 38s or 40s. And I was like, yeah, that's it. I'm like, I'm the boss in this gym.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got home, took my my running shorts off, and there was a hole right where the balls are.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, oh my God. I was like, that's so embarrassing. And then I took my boxers off and there was a symmetrical, like a matching hole.
So basically you and your brother have got stubbly nut sacks. You've worn holes.
Yeah.
You actually wore a hole in your pants and your shorts. That's
and
bloody impressive. I mean, exposing yourself at the gym, I think slightly illegal, but you didn't mean to. These things happen.
I think exposing yourself anywhere is illegal. I think we'll just make that clear.
Is it?
But
yeah, it is, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. There's got to be some sort of laws against it, haven't there?
Against wearing Joe's pants. I mean...
There should be.
And he's bought new ones, in fairness, but he's moaning that they don't
feel
the same.
He just doesn't wear them. Yeah, he'll never wear them. No chance.
Oh, Luca, it's good to have you on the show, man. We've been
It is long overdue. Glad to be on. I've been meaning to get on, but life gets in the way, doesn't it?
It not for me, no. I tend to come on every week. Got in the way for Joe with his infection and all of that.
Of course.
I'm sure he'll be back soon.
Hopefully, speedy recovery and all of that.
Yeah, you're just going to bloody keep putting frozen food down his pants so you can get on every week, aren't you? Which is fair enough.
So yeah, I did plant a few frozen berries in the underwear drawer while I was over there earlier today. But
what, to tempt him?
You never know. You never know.
Well, Luca, it's episode 45.
I can't believe that we're here.
I can't believe we're here every week. I present Joe and our lovely, beautiful listeners out there with some number facts or some National Day facts. I don't know if anyone's interested. Joe's interested, but that's because that's Joe. I've managed to always tie it in with his challenge each week. Now, obviously, I set him a challenge 2 weeks ago. I don't know if he's done it. It's Joe. Chances are he hasn't done it. I'm going to set you a challenge, Luca. And I think, are you up for a challenge this week?
I'm up for a challenge. Of course I am. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't up for a challenge.
I knew you'd be up for a challenge. So I've got a challenge lined up for you, and it's going to be based on one of these facts, or maybe two of these facts. And in the meantime, you get to learn some facts. And I think fact number one, it's episode 45, and I know that you'll know this one, being a big football fan yourself, but, you know, football match, 2 45-minute halves. That's what it is, isn't it? UK in soccer.
I do have a slight bone to pick with that, but yeah, you know, it should be, theoretically, but...
But what, did they play too much extra time?
Added time, and, you know, if we were going to really kind of pick it apart, but I'll let you have that one.
But it's a chess podcast and we don't give a shit, so we're just going to move on to the second one. 45, do you know it's the title of a song by the band The Atomic Bitchwax? Are you a fan of The Atomic Bitchwax?
I love a bit of bitchwax, honestly. It's one of my guilty pleasures, I've got to say. What about yourself, Ali? You
I love a bit of bitchwax as well. Also one of my guilty pleasures, And it's also 45 is, do you know which wedding anniversary it is, Luca? You probably do because you're reading from the same notes as me.
Yes, I'm gonna hazard a guess that it is the sapphire.
The sapphire.
The sapphire.
Is that my handwriting is bad?
No, I'm just playing it down. I'm just trying to entertain the listeners here.
You're doing good, Luca. You're doing good. It is also, I'm now moving on. I've never done this, and it's a risky thing here. I normally stick with number facts or National Day facts.
Yes.
This week, in honor of your appearance on the show, I'm combining the two. So I'm just going to whiz through these, you know, before people fall asleep. It's Anesthesia Tech Day, where you can discover the history and importance and medical milestones of anesthesiologists. How amazing is that?
That whole is day for their thing. Incredible, honestly.
It really is
enough to put you to sleep, isn't it? Like you say.
Nice one, yeah. It's also Crayola Crayon Day.
Okay.
I was going to say who come up with that, but obviously Crayola's come up with that, haven't they, to push their crayons.
So.
I know you've got two young children, so I'm assuming there's crayons in your house.
There are a good chunk of Crayola crayons lying around. There's about 50 that I can see in sight at the moment. So
you can actually melt them down and turn them into wax, you know.
I've heard. I don't know what the chemicals are like in there, but I mean, well, Artie eats them, so it can't be any worse than that.
It's also prom day, which is supposed to throwback or call up a high school friend, cherish your unforgettable prom memories. I'm not into all this prom crap. Did you have a prom when you were at school?
I did, yeah. I've got a few unforgettable prom memories, actually, like being stood in the corner of the room with no one to talk to. That was pretty unforgettable.
It just didn't exist when I was at school.
We had it at a really just sort of shady hotel in the back streets of Digbeth, which for any of the non kind of Midlands listeners is not a particularly nice place. At least it wasn't when I was finishing school. Mm-hmm. And you just had all of these kind of spotty teens turning up in Hummers and limos, and none of them could actually drink. It was the weirdest party ever, really.
Two things stand out to me. One, why didn't they do it in your school? And they didn't want you back, like you've left. We do not want you back. You're all trouble. But the second thing was, I like the way you said, and it was in Digbeth. And for those of you in the Midlands who are not in the Midlands, it was a pretty rough part of town. Well, actually, it was. Is that because also you do sell properties and some of them are located in Digbeth and you don't want to?
I did have to catch myself there.
That was professional, Luke.
I've got several listings in the up and coming Digbeth area. Wink.
So anyway, Luca, your challenge is going to be related to one of those or two of those things. I don't know. We'll get on to that in a bit.
Okay.
So does that fill you with joy? Are you looking forward to that?
I'm hoping that I'm not going to be put to sleep with anaesthetic. So
podcast will do that for you anyway.
Well, you never know. So I'm also hoping I don't have to turn up to some random prom day, because again, with the boxes that me and Joe wear, that could be a license for a criminal record. So
yeah, probably.
So I'm hoping it's Crayola crayon day.
Oh, it could be this, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But first, let's talk chess weeks, Luca. Now, before we started, you were like, because you've played chess. I want to introduce our regular listeners, and in fact, our non-regular listeners. I want to introduce people who are listening to you and tell them a bit about you and your experiences with chess, etc. But before we start, you just said to me, just got to warn you, Al, I haven't been very chessy lately. And, you know, I know you as a chess addict. You're always playing chess. You've got young kids who are potentially going to interrupt the podcast at some point, even though they should be asleep because it's like 10:30 p.m.
And yeah, so I've got an eye on Artie at the moment. He's fast asleep in bed, but we'll see how long that lasts. But yeah. But
normally when he wakes you up and you're with him or your daughter and do you still breastfeed, Luca?
Yeah, every now and then. I mean, it helps me get to sleep. So Leah's my partner is trying to wean me off it, but I'm having none of it.
So you normally play bullet chess while you're up in the night with the kids, don't you? As a lot of people I do.
It's so when I say that I've not been very chessy lately, I mean I've not been very good at it. So pre-kids, pre-relationship, I used to be able to watch videos, look at the technique and the tactics.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done any of that for 4 years. So I'm basically playing the same opening. It's like Groundhog Day.
It's
like the same match over and over again. But, you know, it is what it is.
A lot of people do that even when they do study, Luca. I've been doing that. And that's what this podcast's all about. It is for us average Joes. Not all of us are going to make Grandmaster status. We're just going to play chess, and we enjoy playing chess, and we grab every moment. You know, I'll be cooking, I'll play chess, I play chess, everything, same as you. It doesn't matter.
You play when you can. You do it for a bit of fun, although most of the time, not that fun, but...
Why the hell do we do this stupid game honestly, and then make a podcast about it?
Okay, what is wrong with us? It does make you wonder, honestly. But you know what? Like you say, when it's fun, it's fun. It's just when it's bad. Oh my God, it's bad.
So, okay, this week, have you played much chess this week?
And so also, I just want to point out,
you're drinking wine and you're drinking it out of a wine glass. I can see you here. I've never seen Joe do that. He's a herbal tea man.
So Joe's a herbal tea man, and I mean, he'll try and drink it out of a plastic cup, but he's not, he hasn't got that level of sophistication like me.
You're very sophisticated. No. I mean, I'm currently drinking an alcoholic drink, but I'm using this green mug because it's all I could find. I'm not fussy either, but a wine. Not, anyway,
no. I mean, I do quite like Granddad's style of wine in a mug.
Just drink out of anything, yeah.
Yeah, you know, same shit, but I had different a wine vessel. Glass, so I thought I'd go for it.
Oh, you posh bastard. Right, go on then, honestly. Tell us about
your... So yeah, I was just checking my screen time and seeing how long I've spent on chess this week on chess.com. Mm-hmm. And it's really not that much at all by the looks of it.
Go on, we've never done that, looked at time. We've only looked at number of matches.
So today, oh dear. So today I've only spent 26 seconds on there, which suggests that I started a minute match and lost very early on.
26 seconds, wow.
26 seconds, yeah, quick loss.
Are you sure you're not looking at your pawn sort of usage for the day?
Oh God, no. 26 seconds. That's at least triple what I normally manage. Yeah. So not all that much today at least, but you know, I have been visiting. If I have a look for the week,
mm-hmm.
I've only spent an hour on chess.com this week.
Wow, that's nothing.
Yeah, it isn't at all. A daily average of 8 minutes. I think what's happening is I'm starting it. I'm falling asleep. So what's your chess like at the moment? Because it's been a while. I think I played you in one of the tournaments not so long ago. But
yeah, let's not talk about that. So my chess week, well, I've been playing, I changed my openings actually. I've started playing the Jabava London. I used to play
Jabava.
Used to play it. I'm back on it. You don't know what I'm on about there. It's a D4 opening. So I'm normally an E4 person. I switched to the other side. I'm using the D4, so the Queen's pawn.
Okay.
And then you bring out your knight to C3. You bring out your bishop to I think it's F4. And basically you're attacking that pawn just in front of the bishop next to the queen. So you're attacking the C7 pawn.
You guys have literally just got like a chessboard in your heads, haven't you? Because you're saying all of this and
my chess week is part of that actually, because I've been doing some blindfold chess as well, but basically I've been doing the Jabava London. I used to play it. I've started it again. I've got Simon Williams Chessable course on it, so I've refreshed my memory on that. I also noticed Dania's got some videos on it and has created a course as well. So I did look at his
nice
videos.
Little plug there.
We get nothing from it either, other than the chance to use Dania's voice like we've done in the past and cut it up and make him say ridiculous things. But
I bet he loves that.
He's never going to listen, is he? Why would Dania listen to our show? And Dania, if you are listening, sorry, man, sorry. But you can send me the course for free after this blog. So basically, been doing that and seen some success, Lucas. So I can't say it's all down to that, but over the last week, my blitz it's always sitting around 1,000 and, you know, between 1,000, 1,000 low, 1,100s. And actually,
because I was going to ask what success looks like for you. So so it's around that sort of mark, is it?
So now it's 1,237. So last week, again, 200 rating points in the matter of two or three days. Just playing this opening for white. I'm playing the Pierce for black. You know, Robert Ramirez's opening. Not doing great with it, but have a reasonable success rate. But you're laughing again because you don't know what I'm on about. That's fine. Just pretending, right?
That's the beauty of it, isn't it?
And also, though, remarkably, my bullet, which normally sits in the 900 mark, went up to 1,138 before I lost 100. And I think the blitz rating has gone up because I'm actually thinking about my chess. I'm taking a bit more time on my moves. And I'm doing other training things. I'm trying to make less mistakes. But my bullet chess has gone up simply because I'm able to move the pieces quite fast. And I've just beaten the opponents on time. I'm just staying safe for a minute.
Okay.
Basically. Okay. And they're thrashing me. They're getting rid of my queen. They're ahead in material.
As a... I open chess.com. I click play. And then I literally start a game. So for myself... So you're on about bullet.
Mm-hmm.
So you play in the 1 minute, right?
I've tried the others with increment, but then they'll beat me on skill. I'm winning on time.
Do you know, right? So I haven't found out how to do it yet, but one of the best tactics that I found on there, and I'm kind of going off on a bit of a tangent here because it's not...
It's what we do.
I suppose. There was this little bastard that I played once who, from the very, very start, started messaging me. It wasn't Joe.
No, okay.
He was sending me like 15 messages, one in a row, like
was
one after
mom?
Another. I'm convinced that he must have had, he was like moving the mouse on a computer, I assume, and he had somebody typing for him.
Mm.
It threw me off from the very first minute.
Button
it was
paste?
Like, oh, you're shit. It was like, you're shit.
And really? I was like,
hey, who the fuck's this?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd make a move and he's like, lol, shouldn't have done that. But it was like nonstop.
That's
to
annoying,
the point that I had to reply. And I lost a good 15 seconds replying. I reckon he wins most of his matches doing that.
Really? That is a nice... I mean, we've discussed this with Joe because it really winds Joe up. I don't think you've got that same wind-up thing. It wouldn't anger you as much. I think you just engage them in some more chat.
It does get to me, you know. It does get to me.
Carry on telling me what else gets to you then.
So, like, the other day I lost a match. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you sort of, like, hit... play the next match straight away. Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed that there was a notification in the chat on the match that had just finished.
Yeah.
And that played on my mind for a good hour or so, thinking, I bet that little fucker's just like dissed me in that match for being shit. And I couldn't let it go. I literally lost my next like five or six matches thinking about what he could have written.
See, for me, I'm just asking you all this because next time we play in a tournament, I just want some ways of beating you more easily. Yeah,
man,
so I just got to get inside your head.
Literally, like, so while we're playing, get one of your daughters to be messaging me saying, lol, you're shit, and I will lose.
Perfect. I'm going to do that. Anybody listening, if you play Luca in a tournament in our club, because Luca is in the chess club as well, the Average Joe's chess club, on chess.com, then just remember what he said. You'll be able to thrash him, hopefully.
Yeah, it's not too difficult to get under my skin in a competitive arena.
This is true. I mean, I've got footage of us playing table tennis in our Christmas tournaments, and you are so competitive. It's great. Yeah. I might even post some of that footage on the Patreon, maybe you playing Joe. I can't remember won the title that Christmas.
I can remember clearly who won that title, actually. it was myself.
And then you bastard beat my Mario Kart's course record, didn't you, as well? That took me months
beat it, Al. I beat it. Let's within move my first on. Lap.
This is a chess podcast, not chess. A Nintendo podcast. Luca. So my chess week... That's what I've been doing. But I've mentioned it every week, and he's going to be coming on the show. Last time I was in Birmingham with Joe, we chatted with him live. And that's Aiden, who's got the Don't Move Until You See It website. It's bloody great, man. I'm doing his course on there at the moment. He was good enough to give me free access so I could check it all out, so I could talk about it. And I'm not talking about it because he gave me free access and I'm bigging it up. It's a bloody good course. So I'm doing this blindfold training on his course every day and watching his videos, reading his blog. And there's a link to it in the show notes if anybody wants to check out Aiden's website. But it's really good on, he calls it conceptualization.
Okay. So I've listened to you and Joe talking about the blindfold chess. I know you guys have done a few challenges. Mm-hmm. What is the kind of, what's the benefit behind this? Because I'm looking at it thinking, why don't you just look at the board?
Mm-hmm. But if you're watching like some of these grandmasters play, like let's say Nakamura, mid game, they're looking away from the board, visualizing it in their head. Because, well, that's what I think they're doing. Maybe they're just thinking, shit, I can't wait to listen to the next episode of Average Joe's when I get home from this. But I think they're looking.
What am I going to order? What am I going to get from the chippy when I get home?
But generally, I think they're thinking about the board as well as those things. They're actually visual. So if you imagine, if you can play blindfold, you'll be able to visualize moves in advance. You'll be able to look at a board and then tend to look away, picture it in your head. And then, well, if I pop my, because oftentimes you'll move a piece to a square, you'll think, right, they're going to do that. Then I'll do that. Then, oh shit, I can't remember where the piece is. But if you can picture it all in your head, you've got more chance of being able to play out moves in advance or moves in your head on the board, and you'll just play better chess. Plus, it's bloody good fun. And also, sometimes it helps me get to sleep. I just play these games in my head and fall asleep. Especially your dull games. I should read some of them with you.
Really need to. Yeah.
So that's my chess week, Luca. That is what I've been doing. I've been hanging around in our chess club.
How's the chess club going? I've not played in there for a few weeks or so, but
in there for a few weeks. Luke.
Oh, you're joking.
The tournament
was getting some really good momentum.
It is getting good momentum in terms of members. We are currently sitting at 312 members, which is great. We're having a bit of interaction in the forums, a bit of interaction in the note. Unfortunately, we started this Wednesday night club night. It hasn't took off as we'd hoped. So this week I'm going to switch it to a Saturday, see if more people want to enter. That'd be great. If more people enter, we'll get more tournaments going. They're just a bit of fun. We have a bit of chat. It's just a good laugh.
What I think your problem is, Al?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're incentivizing people to play. And I think you need to switch back to your Sicilian roots and threaten people instead. I think so.
Play chess on Wednesday, or
whoever doesn't turn up is going to get it. I don't know what it is, but they're going to get it.
Yeah, fucking get it, mate.
At random, names in a hat.
I'll speak to our, because we now have the official position of club motivator. So chess.com give you official positions. So for example, I'm an admin, Joe's an admin. You can be an admin, Luca. We've also got Toby, TJP, who's our club coordinator. But there's this one guy in our chess club, Julius Alexander 888, who is just trying to motivate people to take part in tournaments. He's great. So I've appointed him as our unofficial club motivator.
Mr. Motivator?
Mr. Motivator, Julius Alexander. Fair play to you. Get people playing. So what my thoughts are, what do you think about this? We'll switch to another day for these tournaments, maybe Saturday. But I'm also thinking of just doing a set of tournaments that are only variant-based, because I just love some of those games like King of the Hill, Three Checks.
I played the 960 one.
You did. What did you think of that?
Fucking brilliant. It was really good fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
I was clueless. I felt like a child. Yeah, but it was fun. It was really good fun because everybody was the same. Everybody was as bad as the next.
Yeah, and the chat's good fun. So I think what I might do for this Saturday's tournaments are just variants all the way through. I might throw in the odd normal chess, but just variants.
Okay, I like that. I'm definitely going to try and get into at least one this week.
Cool. Well, if anybody else wants to join us, it's Average Joe's Chess Club on chess.com. Search it in Google. Go to Average Joe's Chess. We've got 1 month membership trials you can take out instead of chess.com's usual 1 week. And if you take it out and then continue with that, then Joe, myself, not Luca, get a little bit of commission as well, which helps the podcast run. So it'd be great if you join our club and join our bloody tournaments, because we need them to go ahead and they're all good fun. So, Luca, I've made some notes here that I haven't stuck to at all. Like, I thought I should introduce you a bit more, ask you some questions, but, you know, we've got bloody loads to get through here. And I'm conscious of the fact that your kids are going to wake up and interrupt the podcast.
Well, do you know what? Looking at the monitor, I mean, I can only assume that Artie is listening to this right now because he is fast asleep. So I'm wondering if perhaps my voice is going through the monitor. I'm not too sure, but
it's good. Just keep it going.
As it is. Yeah, now that little tip about the whiskey that you told me out has worked
a
treat.
It works. It's going to be a 10-hour podcast, isn't it?
So no, I've got no concerns there at the moment.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do, we're going to talk about our challenges. You haven't got one, but I'm going to set you one. I can talk about what my challenge was last time and how I got on. And we've got some world chess news coming up as well. We've got our topic, which is from a listener's question. But I also wanted to ask you for, you know, let the listeners, I think they want to know more about Joe, really.
And possibly more about you.
So I wanted to ask you, Luca. Joe has often talked on this podcast about you and told stories about you. He's told a story about playing over the board chess with you. When did you fall off a chair or something?
I did fall off a chair while we were playing chess in the garden. Yes. Well, I didn't fall off the chair. I think, you know, when you have kids, you don't really put the kind of dedication into your physique as you once did. So I think maybe the chair had just sort of picked up on that perhaps and had sunk into the soil beneath me. So
I was gonna say, basically he talks about you shitting the bed.
Yeah
how
he does,
do you feel about that when he told the story about you shitting the bed that time? Or shall I recap on it to give you Joe's version? Something along the lines of, you went to the toilet in the night. I think you sleep naked, he said. You went back to bed and then your partner, she woke up and there was shit on the bed sheets where a sheet had crept into your buttocks and you'd smit. Something like that. I personally thought it's nothing to do with chess, and I don't know why you spoke about it on chess podcast, but we aren't really a chess podcast. And two, did you really want him to tell this story? I think you're actually quite proud of it, aren't you?
I mean, it's not the most embarrassing thing that I've ever done. So I'm not too concerned about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, we've all been there. Who hasn't been there? Can anybody get to their 30s and tell me honestly that they've not shit the bed in some way or another?
Write in and let us know. We want to know this.
I mean, saying it out loud, I'm guessing that probably 99% of the people listening will probably say that
they haven't.
Yeah, but... I still stand by the fact it was just a little bit of a skid, you know.
What about Joe? Is any stories about Joe you want to tell involving any shit?
So there's actually two, which you know, Joe seems quick to talk about my one, but I mean, the only saving grace here is that he was a child and not a 27-year-old man. But I'm going to sell it anyway. So we've got a cousin, Calogero, and Jessica Marie. So we were over at their house one day, and Joe's probably listening to this part now, chuckling and thinking, oh, God. But we used to go over to their house quite a lot. And they live not too far away over by the beaches. We used to go and play Super Mario on the N64. It was a really good day. And Joe disappeared one of the days. We were in Calogero's room, went to the toilet, came back about 10 minutes later. Nobody thought anything of it. You know, he's just been to the loo. Until Julie, our cousin's mum, came into the room and went off on one to Calogero. She was like... Oh God, she went mad at him. I mean, she was going, Calogero, I can't believe what you've done. There's shit everywhere. There's shit all on my brand new hand towel. I can't believe what you've done. And the whole time Joe's just sat there with his head down, letting Calogero take the blame for it all. Not once did he perk up and say, oh, I'm really sorry, Julie. And I'm still convinced that to this day, none of them know that it was Joe. What he did, I don't know. I don't know. But somehow there was shit on the hand towel. Don't know what happened.
Maybe Joe will fill us in next week. What a lovely
maybe,
story.
Maybe. But
for
like
our
I
listeners.
Say, like I say, he was probably about 8 years old. So I don't have any shit related adult stories for him, sadly. I'm having to dig deep here. But
There was actually when you put a nappy above his head, that was fun in the podcast. He didn't know that,
that
was there.
Was good.
And
no.
he doesn't like children's nappies, basically full of shit. He hasn't got kids. He's never had to deal with them. We did the whole podcast with me watching him with a nappy above his head, a diaper
and you
for
could
our
see
American
him, right?
listeners. I could see him and I could see he didn't know. And then at the end, I said, Luke has prepared something for you. And he looked up and he was going, he did not appreciate that nappy up there. And then he had to deal with it. Although I'm convinced he probably got your mum or dad to get it off for him.
Oh,
doubt he touched it himself.
He would not have touched that. No chance. No. I mean... Yeah, he's very very squeamish. I mean, I quite often play little tricks and jokes with him. You know, like I'll change Alessia's nappy while I'm there, and I'll chuck it to him. You know, nice. Only if it's a little bit of a wee. But yeah, he doesn't like it at all. He's not a big fan. He has to leave the room anytime he goes to the party. Yeah, he's not cut out for the nappies yet.
Nah. Luke, thanks for sharing that. Joe, I hope you enjoyed listening to that section if you're listening back. And Luca, should we go on to challenges? Are
let's
you
do
ready?
It.
Let's do
I
it.
I don't know if I am, but let's go.
So, Luca, challenges, right? You ready for your challenge? Not your challenge. Let me recap on my challenge.
Come on, then. Let's bring me up to speed.
All right, then. So, for everyone out there, if you didn't listen to the last but one episode, episode 43, Joe challenged me to get drunk, which I don't often do. He said, get drunk and do some average Joe's chess business of some sort. So my mate Jean came round. We had a few drinks, went out for something to eat, had a few drinks, got home. He was playing on the Nintendo a little bit while I typed this email. So I didn't do anything too bad, to be honest with you. All I did, I mean, I can't jeopardize this thing that we've been doing for a year, but I mean, what I did basically was just write this to Fide. So on the episode before, we were talking about chooping on episode 43, the art, the act and the art of pooping and playing chess on the toilet. And we were saying how grandmasters and stuff might play better chess if they could actually use a toilet whilst playing chess. We talked about maybe they could sit there at on commodes at the chess table in big tournaments and crap
what
while they're
brilliant
playing.
Idea.
We said they could have privacy blankets, etc. And we just said, like, the problem is they'd need a way of, you don't want to wipe your bum and then touch chess pieces. It's unhygienic. So we said maybe a bidet or something, so it washes the devil's onion ring while they're playing. And so
you guys have given some serious thought to this.
We did give some serious thought to it. And then we said, listen, if Fide don't want to do anything, we'll start our own rival chess organization called Bide. So I decided to just write to Fide while I was a little bit tipsy. I can read that letter. It just says, hi, I'm writing to make a suggestion and would love your feedback on this. I am the co-host of a chess podcast, Average Joe's Chess. In our last episode, we were covering slang chess terms, one of which was chooping, the act of playing chess whilst on the toilet. My co-host and I both commented how we play our best chess whilst chooping and that we can't be the only people that do this. This then led us to wonder if the top players in the world would see a noticeable increase in rating if they played over the board tournaments while sitting on a toilet. We discussed how this would create logistical and hygiene issues. However, we came up with some solutions such as providing players with a privacy blanket and using a commode with a bidet attachment. Is doing any of this something that FIDE would consider? Totally understand if this is not an option at this point in time. However, I must point out that we did discuss starting a rival organisation called BDAY. Could I ask for your thoughts and feedback on this so that we can read it out and discuss further on our next podcast? Thank you, Joe.
Now, I am assuming that you didn't get a response from this.
Well, no. No, they've blanked me for some reason. Well, I said blank me. As you heard, I signed it Joe. I'm not putting my name to that shit.
Who haven't
responded.
How strange.
It is strange, but I mean, the threat is there. I think there's a lot of people out there who will join BDAY.
I just don't think they're taking BDAY seriously. And there is just a world of untapped potential.
There is.
We need to take this to the next level. Who knows what these grandmasters could achieve sitting on the throne?
This is what we said. Next level. FIDE, if you're listening to this, we're serious about this. We are going to start BDAY. Oh, you know, like the Apprentice characters when they've lost and they're in the taxi and they're driving off and they're really crap. Look, and they're like,
Alan Sugar doesn't know what he's missed out on.
You're going to regret that. FIDE, you are going to regret this. You will
rue the day. But I feel like they really will.
They will. They will. So yeah, that was it really. I mean, nothing too spectacular. That was my challenge. Obviously, you didn't have a challenge, Luca, because you couldn't be bothered to turn up to the last 44 episodes. So there is not a challenge for you to discuss. However, I asked you whether you wanted to set me a challenge. I think you've had a busy day as it's Easter Sunday. You didn't get around to it. However, the challenge I've set for you also involves me. So if you are willing to take a challenge, then I shall present you with the challenge.
Al, present me with that challenge.
I shall do that, Luca. So it involves myself, you and Joe. It just involved you and Joe. And then I thought, this sounds like too much fun. I've got to get in on it.
can't miss out on this.
Can't miss out on a good bit of waxing. I'm a fan of getting people to wax. I know you like to wax. I'm not a big fan of waxing myself or waxing other people, really. But, you know, one of those things, what was that band called again? Atomic Bitch Wax. So that's where this bit comes in.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, no. I missed out on that when I was talking about what the potential challenge could be.
Exactly.
Bitch Wax. I should have known.
So we're going to wax your bitch bits. what we're going to actually do. And also your partner, she's some sort of beauty therapist.
She's a professional beauty therapist.
You must have some wax lying about
the house. Which would have backfired on you because my bitch wax is fully waxed. So,
oh man. Well, it does actually involve the wax and it also involves the Crayola crayons and son, Carter.
God, where is this going?
I know. So what I'm thinking is we play a bit of chess over the board, me, you and Joe, and then we'll set some, what I was thinking, we'll draw pictures of the human body, nothing vulgar because it involves your son, just like of an course. Outline like you'd see on a target if you were shooting or something. Okay. And then we give Artie the crayons and ask him to mark bits of the body. Don't tell him that we're going to wax those bits of the body. And whoever loses gets those bits waxed. Or we might up the ante. Whoever loses a piece gets those bits waxed. When you're waxing, it has to be pulled off quick, doesn't it? Otherwise,
very quick.
We might get Artie to do the waxing. So we put the wax on and let this small, what is he, 3 years old?
He is 3.5 now.
3.5-year-old child rip the wax off. I mean, this is how memories are formed. I haven't drilled down to the finer details, but it's going to involve wax and it's going to involve crayons. Are you? And I'm in Birmingham over the next week or two, so we can all meet up and get this done in the lodge, in the same place where Joe had the spinach in his ball bag.
Let's do it, Al. Let's do it. I don't know why I'm so enthusiastic here. Maybe it's because I could probably do with a bit of a wax.
Yeah, especially because if you're going to wear those shorts at the gym.
Well, I mean, I'm by far the worst chess player out of the three. Mind you, I have I have had the edge on you in recent tournaments.
You have.
So I suppose it depends on the format that we're going for here.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a tournament format, I don't fancy my chances because I think you've got... I can't beat Joe for some reason.
You can't beat him,
but you can, can't you?
You're going to be bald as a... I don't know what.
Oh,
you're going to be bald by the time. Especially for RT. Maybe we need limits so he can't draw on your head.
I was going to say, although it won't affect you all that much, but...
Listen, everybody said I have got hair on my head. It's just on the wrong side of my head. It's on the chin side.
Yeah, on the chin. Come for that upside
if
down.
If my head
foot.
Was upside down, I'd look perfectly abnormal.
Ah, dear. So, like you say, Leah is a trained beautician.
We don't want that.
We
That's
don't want
professional.
That.
We want.
I've actually got
like
a story about the first time. Oh, you don't want arty. I've got worse.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The first time that I was waxed was actually by my father, and dad, as you know, is a very back in the day, he used to have a bit of an edge to him. He used to get down to the football, and he had a bit of that aggression. And as he got older, he got much softer, and. We were going to Sicily one year. Joe and Granddad were already there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was flying over there to meet them there. And I'm going to start at the end, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Joe came in. So I'd just landed, came in. He was like, oh, Luca, are you coming down to the beach? And I was on the bed. And I was like, nah, it's not all right. Thank you. And he was like, what the hell's going on? And I was like, I don't fancy it. I've had a long day traveling. Now, I never say no to the beach.
Nah, you're a beach man.
And Joe went down to the beach, as he does, and came back, came into the bedroom, and I was fast asleep. And he saw the real reason that I didn't go to the beach, which was that my chest was red raw, looked like what I can only describe as... a Christmas turkey having been on the wrong side of the spanking paddle. And it all came about from dad being too delicate.
Really?
I waxed my chest about a day before we flew out. And he was like, oh, I don't want to hurt you. But it was at an angle. I couldn't do it myself because I'd get my chin. And he was like, I can't do it. I don't want to hurt you. So he did it about 7 times. And he did it at the pace of a pensioner. And all it was doing was pulling out little tiny hairs and making me bleed constantly to the point where I said, oh, Dad, fuck this. And I just ripped it off and came off clean. But I was doomed. I lost about a week of beach because of that. So
seriously,
Dad's kindness killed me that holiday, sadly.
Well, I think your son's kindness is going to do the same.
I think it might. I think it
but
might.
Not his
so,
kindness, his
incompetence
and his 3.5-year-old muscles.
And you say his kindness. This kid wants to cause pain. You've seen him with your beard. So
this is true. Oh, I'm looking forward to this challenge. So, yeah, we'll record the audio. We will record the video. That'll go on our Patreon. If you want to check it out, head over to Patreon. The links are in the thing here. That'll be on in the next couple of weeks. And you can see us just getting a bit of pain and getting waxed.
Luke sounds like a really good challenge.
I think Joe will love it as well. He needs this.
I think he will.
In life.
Oh, God, I hope Joe loses.
Yeah, we need to work away a lot to team.
Let's fix it.
Let's
we'll
gang
fix
up.
It.
Let's fix
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, it needs to be
Luca.
Fixed.
So basically, we're chatting away here. This could go on for a long time. And I have got some world chess news. Nothing
okay.
that amazing. Boy, it is amazing. Did you hear about that kid? He's 10 years old. His name's is a FIDE master already. His name's Faustino Oro. Have you heard of this one?
If I'm not mistaken, he's already beaten grandmasters such as Daniel Nowitzki and Hikaru Nakamura. Is this
bloody
the
one? Has you're reading those notes again, aren't you? I'm just not used to this level of professionalism. With
honestly,
Joe.
Al, oh I could God. Flag this so well.
Oh, you really could. Well, anyway, you beat Magnus in Bullet. So,
wow.
They're dubbing him the Lionel. He's Argentinian, so they call him Lionel Chessy. And he's got a rating of 2,330 in standard chess, 2,186 in blitz, and 2,325 in bully. Over the board, this is.
And he's a 10-year old.
10 years old. I mean, what were you doing at 10, Luca, that you can talk about?
Oh, that I can talk about. So
should
that
move
ruins
on?
My first answer. Let's move swiftly on from there.
So the second story, this one fascinated me. It was to do with, you know, Elon Musk's company. And he's implanted, he's reading those bastard notes again, aren't you? I can type on these and change them live as you're reading and make it sound like a right.
So basically, well, in that case, I'm going to really throw you off there.
Okay. Basically, they implanted this brain chip in this guy, Noland Arbor. I did actually see this.
I've not looked into the story at all.
I watched the whole video. He's 29-year-old quadriplegic guy, sadly lost use of everything from the neck down some sort of diving accident, I think. And they've implanted this chip into his brain. I mean, whether you agree with this sort of thing or not, neither here nor there, it was just a fact that what he was doing is on chess.com playing chess, just using his mind to move the pieces around. Which I just think,
I mean, like you say, regardless of what your stance is on this, that's pretty fucking incredible.
It is incredible just being able to think about it. I mean, you'd think the guy'd be looking at porn or something, but now straight onto chess.com.
I mean, that's where my mind went instantly. Yeah. but you know, that's probably why I've not got a chip inserted into me. It would definitely be wasted on me.
Yeah, Musk didn't choose. They looked down the list, went, Luke, nah, he's just going to use a bloody porn, isn't it? Well, imagine you're playing chess, you'd be in some sort of big tournament and all of a sudden a porn site would just flick up. Shit, I didn't mean to think of that.
Exactly. I mean, maybe, Al, there's a market for a little mix of the both, you know.
Maybe.
You've talked about spicing up this chess community and coming up with B-Day.
Mm-hmm.
There's some legs there, you know.
There is something there. Maybe
we a little bit of a sexy chess club. I don't know.
We've got that already. We've got Joe with his pants.
I suppose, but I'm thinking, you know, the next level.
What, like
me?
You? let's write to Fide about this too.
We'll put that one on the back burner for now. Let's move on from that one.
Okay. Well, in which case, Luca, we have a listener's question. I love it when people write into us. Absolutely. If you want to contact us, it's averagejoeschess@gmail.com. And in fact, I forgot to say, we're giving away a 1 month diamond membership for chess.com. All we want you to do for this one is to leave us a voice note. Just send us a voice note. You can do it through Spotify. You can do it on our website, averagejoeschess.com. Leave us a voice note. It could be a question. It could be you telling us we're shit. It could be you telling us we're great. Could be anything whatsoever. Chances are, I reckon there'll only be one, possibly two people do this. And one of them's probably going to be Joe because he always wants that diamond membership. So leave us a message. You've got a good chance. And if you're comfortable with it, we will put that message on the show as well for you. So anyway, somebody did actually contact us with a question. Do you want me to read that
before
out?
Before you go into the question, Al, can I just ask a question of my own?
Please
what
don't.
Are the rules on opening a beer live on the podcast? Is that going to be
absolutely fine. You go for that. But hold Shall it I? Next to the mic and open it so we can
I was
going to
say, is this some sort of like what they call it? ASMR, was it? Kind of?
Yeah. Go for it. Put it right next to your mic.
Ready?
Open that beer. Let's hear it.
Oh,
I'm thirsty now.
Fire away with this questioner.
Will do. You pour that beer and sip it while I read this. Oh, that looks good. Okay, so it says, Al, I listened in to last week's show where Joe sent in the message saying how he got frozen spinach in the eye of his penis. Even though he said his penis had grown a bit as a result of the infection, and this is a good thing, I guess, I don't think he was wise fiddling with it so much. The whole thing sounds like a mistake. Yes, you got him to do a funny challenge, but you are his uncle, and I think you should look after him a bit more. Maybe make up for it by telling us how to avoid mistakes in our chess games. Love the show, Charlotte. Isn't that a lovely message someone sent in there, potentially Joe's girlfriend?
It really is.
Very nice message. And I love the link from Joe's penis to making mistakes in chess, the way that just seamlessly blends together and gives us something to talk about.
Anything linked to Joe's penis is a mistake. So, it works quite well.
Okay. So basically, how can you make less mistakes in chess? I've actually got serious answer to discuss, a serious thing that we can discuss. I've done a bit of research here. But have you got any ideas, Luke? Anything you want to discuss about making less mistakes?
I think it's actually quite a simple question, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. And the answer is just don't play chess. That's how I found that I make the least mistakes, mm-hmm, is when I don't mm-hmm. play it.
That is a good one.
Anytime I start a match, I typically tend to make a mistake or six.
Just ditch chess.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not playing, you're not going to make a mistake.
Bloody hell. You've hit upon something there. That's really, you've just blown my mind. I feel like I don't even need to read out the actual serious answer written by a chess master.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the notes here, so I won't go and spoil anything. But in our little interval about 20 minutes ago, mm-hmm, I thought, while we're kind of waiting, I was going to play a quick minute match of chess.
Right.
And it turns out that I played that with the intelligence of Artie. It was pretty bad. So I would definitely agree with one of the points that you've got on this.
What was one? Don't play when you have no time, or don't play when drunk. Which of those?
Both, actually. It ticks both boxes.
What was it? Don't play if you're about to wipe your bum or wiping your bum. I've written that down as well. Which one of these was it?
Do you know, I'm falling into several categories here. Mm-hmm, is that one about masturbating as well?
And no, actually, when I was saying about don't move if your hands are shaking, is actually I was playing a game this week and I was playing on my phone and I just misclicked twice in the same match. And it was so bloody annoying because I misclicked, lost a piece, and then I fought like mad to win that piece back, and I did win it back, and I was so pleased, and I had the upper edge, and I made another misclick and ended up losing the match, and that pissed me off.
It's a good point, actually, because me and Joe talk about this quite a bit, and Joe is very, he only plays during the right conditions, doesn't he?
He does. Takes it seriously.
He plays when he's got time, mm-hmm, plays when he's got peace. Now, I live a life that has very little time, very little peace, mm-hmm, so I play when I can. Even when I'm playing on the toilet, that tends to be rushed by Leah telling me that I'm taking too long. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely say that the way to make less mistakes is to copy Joe's philosophy. Take your time with it. Like you say, the amount of times that I play when I'm uncomfortable, even, mm-hmm, I might be playing and I'm kind of like rolled over and my phone's hurting my little finger.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about, you know, play with no distractions, in complete peace, silence, comfort, bit of music on if that helps you, whatever mm-hmm floats your boat. I would say you need to eliminate any distraction, any discomfort, and just focus on the chess.
Luca, that's exactly what a beautiful, I couldn't have put it better myself. That's actually, we've got Average Joe's chess playlists. You can even listen to on Spotify that are guaranteed to make your chess better. So check them out if
you
want.
Is there some sort of like small print here? It's like, which are guaranteed to make you feel better. It's like, terms and conditions apply. Please do not sue us if you do not improve your chess ratings.
Always, if you listen to any of our podcast, they are always terms and conditions. But yeah, find it. You know what? My family know. They come in. I must have a particular chess face because they come in and they go, Dad, are you you're playing chess? I go, yeah, you can talk. They go, no, don't worry. Tell us when you finish the game. So they know now that I'm in that zone, I'm playing chess, but it still distracts me a bit. I'm finding the best chess I play lately is after midnight or sort of 11:30 onwards in bed. Most people are asleep in the house. I can just sit there, lie there and focus on the chess and play decent chess or semi-decent chess. I've been playing a lot better since I've done that. But like yourself, I'll just sneak a game in. I'll be cooking dinner, I'll play, sat in a car park, I'll play.
Yeah.
Waiting outside a shop.
And it's the worst thing that you can do if you're serious about your rating. The amount of times that I start a game and think, fucking hell, like, I should not have started the game.
Yeah.
I start a game and, you know, let's say I'm playing black and white moves and I could quite easily just leave it there and think, I've already realised that I don't have the time to put into this match, but I don't. Mm-hmm. I make my move and I'm like, oh, well, I'm committed now.
Yeah.
I
do exact same, but that's because we treat it as a bit of fun. We're not too bothered about upping the rating. Maybe we should be. Maybe take a leaf out of Joe's book.
So,
I actually looked up this. There's a master called Dan Heisman. I don't know. Have you heard of him? Other than the fact you've just read the notes. So Dan Heisman, he's got a YouTube channel. He's an older fella, I think. It's not the most dynamic channel, like as if you were watching Danya or somebody like that. However, it is really bloody instructive. The stuff is so good. So I read, and he's got a blog on chess.com as well, which was interesting. And this advice I read there really did strike a chord. And basically, it's just as when you're a lower rated player, studying basic tactics, playing carefully every move, and getting rid of your giant tactical mistakes will help you more than memorizing 10 opening books or learning the, I don't know how you pronounce this, Lucina Philidor end games. Minimizing giant mistakes is far more helpful than learning many strategic nuances. Once you can keep your pieces safe each move and can recognize when your opponent has not and can take advantage of it, then studying lots of opening theory and advanced strategy will become far more useful.
That it's just makes so sense. True. So true.
Learning all these openings, just make less mistakes, focus. Yeah. And then I thought, well, how do you make less mistakes? And he has the answers. He actually has a book called Is Your Move Safe? That's the whole book about Is Your Move Safe? And he has a YouTube video on the same topic of Is Your Move Safe? And I'm going to post the links in the show notes if anybody wants to watch them and have a look at the book maybe. And some of the things he was saying, I just made a few notes as I was watching this video for anyone that's interested. And also, we feel like we should talk a bit of proper chess. And he basically says, when your opponent moves, and some of the stuff he said, I just hadn't really thought of before. When your opponent moves, there's two questions to ask. What are all the pertinent things that this move does? And on your own move, what you need to ask yourself, is that move safe? Which leads on to, is that move safe? What does it mean? And he says, your move is safe if your opponent has no way to force a capture, a threat, or a checkmate from you, or a capture or a checkmate from you, a check, a capture, or a threat. So if you don't recognize patterns, you're going to miss captures and threats. But what I found interesting, he was saying like the 64 squares at play. You're moving a piece to a square and you think, is that square safe? There's three attackers. There's three defenders. Okay, I can move to that square. I shouldn't move to that. You make these decisions and you're basing it on the tactics that you play. But if you watch this video, he actually shows things that, I mean, I didn't get any of them, to be honest with you. And it's all about like, this doesn't surprise you, does it? But it's about like, you take that piece. They might not take back. It might reveal a check somewhere. You know what? I'm explaining it really crap. What I'm going to advise is watch this video if you want to make less mistakes.
Head to the video, yeah.
Head to the video. It is really good. He says what you need to do is avoid hope chess. You don't just play and hope. You calculate. However, where we're going to mess up on this is he thinks that even rapid games are too short. You're not going to be able to consider all the candidate moves, work out your plans, even in a he reckons 45-minute games.
So, okay.
I mean, in fairness, I get that, but I'm not going to be doing it.
Quality over quantity, isn't it? No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to follow that advice.
Nah.
Do I agree with it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to do it. I mean, it is the right thing to do, no doubt about it. I think my problem here is that I calculate the moves and I know that what I'm about to do is stupid. Like, I know it is, but my kind of philosophy is like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to do it anyway.
That's how you ended up on this podcast tonight.
Exactly. That's how I ended up with two kids.
And that was done sort of like rapid as well, or bullet? I don't know.
Well, I would say one up from bullet. I don't know what that is, but some sort of like gamma ray. I don't know.
So, basically... However, you know what? In my blitz matches, I have been taking more time and just thinking, if I can avoid mistakes and capitalize on my opponent's mistakes, I know I make mistakes if I'm not concentrating. So surely they're going to make mistakes. And I think that's another reason my rating's gone up 200 points in the last week.
Well, I'm fairly sure that you guys covered it on one of the earlier podcasts about kind of just sort of like buying you time on some of them, making pointless moves just to kind of make a move sometimes. Sometimes you get a little bit of a quiet game. They're not quite coming on to you. They're not attacking. Just move your queen, move it back. Little things like that that buy you a little bit of time where they're actually thinking of a tactical move to make. I just think there's so many elements to this though, aren't there?
But I think the key is to not make mistakes. Just don't move. So when I'm playing Bullet, I make loads of mistakes with pre-moves and stuff like that. But as the time scales, as the time controls get longer, you can make less. I asked National Master Jesse Cohen about this today as well. And what he said is it's about the fundamentals, having the consistency to look for checks, captures and threats. So it's consistency. We often forget that. Also known as forcing moves. So look for forcing moves every single time without exception and being able to follow basic principles. This will lead you to making reasonable chess moves that don't blunder the game away on a move-by-move basis, which is the foundation for strong chess. Thank you, Jesse.
Cool. Thank you. That's
Summit
amazing.
Chess. Get over there, get some coaching from Jesse Cohen, National Master Jesse Cohen over in Colorado, friend of the show.
God knows what I could do with it.
Would you like Jesse to coach it? He'd probably do that for us. We could do like a live session. He would do it. We'd do a live session, put it on YouTube or put it on the Patreon or something for people to watch. If you're
I'd be up for this. Yeah, Jesse, if you fancy training somebody that has got a basic level of understanding and probably a little bit too much. Like I say, I just go for it. I try and beat everybody early on. I'm an aggressive player. Mm-hmm. I've got no patience. That's my problem. So
enjoying all these tips you're giving us for beating you. I like this.
No, God, I knew there was a reason that you asked me to come on here.
Of course. I'm just as competitive as you. I've got to win. I need to win.
No, I never knew that.
So, I mean, basically the lesson is make less mistakes. That's all we're going to say about this. We're no bloody experts. We're just average Joes. Charlotte, just don't ask such stupid questions.
Yeah, come on, Charlotte.
Yeah. So, Luca, it's been a pleasure having you on. I think, you know what, I think we're just going to have to move on to exceptionally loving here. Have you, Luca, been exceptionally loving anything this week?
Do you know what?
Not even this week. You've got 46, 45 episodes. What have you exceptionally loved?
oh, wow. So, this is a first for me. I've exceptionally loved this bank holiday weekend. I'm going to start there.
Mm-hmm.
It has been absolutely brilliant. Spend a little bit more time with the family. Went over to see mum and dad today, grandma and granddad as well. So I'm exceptionally loving a little bit more family time.
Mm-hmm.
What else am I exceptionally loving at the moment? I'm exceptionally loving, there's a lot going on, to be honest, and it's all exciting, quite a lot of change happening, both professionally and personally. We're buying a house at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll be in there by the next time I do my next podcast. So there's a lot that I've got going on at the moment, but definitely time with family is the exceptional.
Are you exceptionally loving? We're in a fantasy Premier League together, aren't we? Fantasy football.
We are.
Me and you have been in it for years against each other, very competitive.
Oh, God, yeah.
We've introduced more people. And currently Jean, who we mentioned earlier, he's in it. Joe's in it. I'm in it. Joe having the worst season ever, just sitting at
the top
of the table.
He's really doing badly, isn't he?
Last year he was about to win, as regular listeners will know, and then he threw it all away on the last day of the season, which was such a shame for him. We weren't laughing at all.
Oh, God, no. John won it. We didn't distract him, did we?
And I think you came last. I came second.
I mean,
maybe,
I
can't remember.
Who came last is irrelevant.
Let's not focus last season. But this season, you've led for most of the season. Joe's on the bottom of the table. I'm about third. But currently, you're in second place.
I am in second place.
Loving this season.
I'm not exceptionally loving that, if I'm
Magnus
honest.
Magnus plays by the way.
He does, doesn't he? He's quite good at it.
That's our chess link. Yeah, and he's putting together some sort of fantasy chess as well, by the way. I listened to him on a podcast this week. That will be good.
Okay, that's interesting.
A new element to discuss on the show, but yeah, carry on.
So yeah, I led pretty much the entire season, and I'm now in second place. I've been in second place now for 2 weeks running.
Mm-hmm.
Jean, your friend that you mentioned earlier, he is taking that number one spot, but it is very, very tight. It's very tight. There are 9 points in it, so it could all change in a week. Not so much, you know, you're not as close to me.
I am pretty close, I would argue.
What am I on?
Are you looking at that now?
I am, yeah. So you're on 1,614.
I did get the highest score this week, didn't I? 63 points.
You did. I'm on 1,672.
So I'm like, what, 58 points difference? That's nothing. That's 1 week I can catch you.
I mean, that's 1 week that you need my players to get zero. So, I mean, it doesn't quite work happen. Like that.
I've got contacts in the Premier League.
I know you have, Al. I know you have, or at least you did. I don't know if you still have.
Still have.
Mm.
I could
so, what have you been exceptionally loving, Al? I can see the notes here, and one of them's definitely caught my eye.
Yeah, I know it will have caught your eye. So the first one is what I haven't been exceptionally loving, and it is related to this bank holiday weekend. I didn't love the clocks changing. The clocks went forward an hour. As I said to you, the good thing is we got an hour less rain, potentially. Mm. I don't know how that works. The bad thing is last night I was awake till 3 a.m., and then when I woke up, it was like 6 a.m., and the clocks had gone forward. So I think I only had 2 or 3 hours sleep. I didn't particularly enjoy that, but I will enjoy as the nights get longer, as we can do more in the evening.
For sure.
Wait for that. That would be great.
The summer is coming, isn't it?
But what I have actually loved, so today's Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And yesterday, our cousin Angela, my cousin, your cousin Angela, we keep in touch. She sent me a message and we're talking about Easter Sunday. Is she your godmother?
She is my godmother.
I'm your godfather, aren't I?
You are my godfather.
How could I forget she was your godmother?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Angela said that she's making lasagna today for all her family. And it just sent this mad craving for lasagna into me. I just couldn't. And I have to admit, lately, so my last 2 or 3 attempts have been bloody awful, Luca. I've called it lasagna. It's been so dry and horrible. So anyway, today, my dream came true. I had lasagna made for me. I've had 4 portions of lasagna today. I just love that shit. It is so good.
I made a lasagna for Mother's Day. Dropped it off at Mum's house. And
your mum's not mad on it, is she? Oh, you don't like it much?
No, I don't like it.
Your mum loves it.
Is obsessed with it. So I made her a lasagna for Mother's Day. Dropped it off at the house. And then we had plans. We went over to Leah's mum and dad's. And while we were at Leah's mum and dad's, Mum texted me to say, oh my god, this lasagna is out of this world. And I was like, oh, is it really that good? She's like, Luca, it's ridiculous. And I was like, oh, go on then, save me a portion.
I bet they didn't, did that.
So I ended up driving back. I had the kids in the back of the car screaming their heads off at bedtime, so I had to drive back to Mum and Dad's, pick up a portion of lasagna, drive back home and eat that after I'd just polished off a buffet at Liz's.
Always lead with the stomach, love it.
Oh, God, yeah. And I've got to say, it was amazing. Do you know what I'm making tomorrow? And this is a bit of a cultural twist on the podcast. I'm gonna make, obviously, I don't know if the listeners know that the majority of our family are vegan. I'm going to make a vegan version of tagan, which is a dish traditionally served in Aragona. So a small, very small village in Sicily. And one of our aunties famously uses about 120 eggs in this dish. Does. It's a pasta bake, lots of eggs, lots of cheese, lots of meat. As you can imagine, probably quite difficult to do vegan. Ooh. But I did manage it last year, so I'm going to try and recreate it this year.
Send some pictures. We'll post them on the Instagram so people can
see. So we'll see how I get on with that tomorrow.
Luca, what a pleasure. It's been great having you on the show. You got to come back for another one soon.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. So,
beautiful.
And actually, I can see Artie moving on the screen as we speak. So, until next week.
Catch you later. Cheers,
if
Luca.
If you'll have me. See you later.
Of course. Cheers, man.
Bye.